Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. While you're still standing, I'd like you to do something. I'm going to give the talk this morning. Can you please take a deep breath in and breathe out slowly? All right, we're going to do that one more time. And as you do that, I'm going to quote something that God says in his word about himself. Okay, deep breath in and breathe out. "Be still and know that I am God." Let's take a quick prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you are here in our presence amongst us all. And Lord, we pray that you teach all of us, please help all of us to be open to learn from your word this morning. And everyone agrees and says, Amen. Amen. All right, take a seat, please. All right. So a few weeks ago, I was under the shadow. I suddenly had an idea for a talk and like for the church, and a day or two later, Harrison sent me an email and said, "Mark, can you do this sermon on the 5th? So we're going to find out in the next 25 minutes if that was divine inspiration or an idea which should have stayed in my shower. I'm going to start with a drawing for all of you. All right. Now, let's check with the AV team, who have been super busy setting this up, just so you can see some the amazing artwork I'm going to share with you. Can we give a round of applause for our AV team, who've been super good? I mean, look at that. They got me and the split screen. Very cool. Excellent. All right. Thank you, AV team. Jesus said, "I've come that you'll have life and have it to the full." And what did he mean by that? That's what we're going to look at this morning. But first of all, the great artwork. So be prepared to be amazed. What is that? Hey, you got it in one, a battery. Oh, thank goodness for that. Okay, this is a battery. I want you to think for a moment about the amount of life or the amount of energy that you have right now. So is your battery completely full? Are you feeling, yes, I'm ready to go? Or is it dropping down, you're feeling kind of empty? All right, have a think for a moment from 0 to 10. Just give yourself a number. That's very good. Give yourself a number. What number would you give yourself? So take a moment to think. All right. There are a few different answers you could give. Now, the first part of what I'm going to share in this morning is not something specific to what you might hear in church. So that's coming in a few moments, but the first part isn't. So you can share this with friends and family or your colleagues. And if they say, where did you get this wisdom from? You can say in church and come along next week. So if the number you gave yourself was 8 or higher, then you'd be in what I call the green zone. Here, you're full of energy, right? You can take on a lot of challenges. You're feeling great. You're feeling full. If you're, say, 5 and above, then you're in what I would call amber. And here it's a bit tougher. Here you've got a few things going on, and you might be feeling a bit stressed, and when people come to you and say, can you do this? You say, no, I just can't deal with that right now. You might be a bit irritable. That's tougher. And if you're here from 0 to 5, then you're in the red zone. Then it's really tricky, and you might be really struggling. So the reason I'm sharing this with you is because a few years ago, I was in this zone, the red zone, for more than a few weeks, maybe a few months. And Annalise, my wife, said to me, Mark, I think you should speak to someone and just get some advice. So I spoke to a coach, and she took this idea and added a few things which I want to share with you, things that are a very powerful way to think about this. So the first thing she said is, okay, I want you to take a week, think about these three areas, and write down the signals that you have, or the signs, so that you know when you're in each state. So after a week or so, I had for each area 5, 6, or 7 things which made me think, okay, when that happens, then I know I'm in this state. For example, when it's green, when I'm feeling full of energy, then I'm generally feeling very happy, and I think things are going well at work, things are going well in the family, I may be looking for a new challenge. Generally, I'm feeling energetic, feeling good. And I had a list of about 5, 6, 7 things. What about amber? Well, then here, the best way I can draw this is like this. Feeling cross, and I'm juggling a lot of things all at once. I kind of feeling like burdened, you know? There's just so many things going on, and I'm feeling a bit irritable, and yeah, that's not a good place to be. And when I'm down here, I'm feeling pretty bad. Here is where I'm, for example, feeling like a failure, like I just can't do anything. That's how I felt when I was in this area. I felt fearful even going to work. I barely dared to go into the office. It's a bad state to be. So after that week, for each of those areas, I had 5, 6, 7 things. And she said, great, now I want you to take this, do one more thing. Think about the actions that you'll take each step. So for example, what are the actions when you're here that will get you back up, when you're in red to get you back to amber? What are the actions when you're in amber that'll take you to green? What are the actions when you're in green to make sure you stay there? So I wrote down a few actions for each of those items. So the first one, when I'm in this state, the first thing I do immediately is stop any alcohol. Just totally stop, because I know it's only going to bring me down. So I totally stop that. But also I use a word which I think is maybe the hardest word to pronounce in the English language. Help. And so I, for example, the first person I speak to is my wife, but you can speak to lots of people. You can speak to Harrison. He's a very smart guy. You can speak to your boss and say, hey, I'm under a lot of pressure. Can we change what I'm doing right now? You speak to your doctor. You can speak to your friends. Speak to people in the church. You know, this church is filled with people who want to help you, but we may not know that you need help, or we may not know how to help you. But if you ask for help, you get it. And that can help. That's one of the things that can help restore you. So I had a few items again to actions I can take to get out of that state. What about when I was here? Well, I said there's a lot of things going on. I'm kind of feeling under pressure. And very quick story. This week, I was cycling against, we had really hard wind, right? I was cycling against that really hard wind. And I now have a watch which tells me my heart rate. And I had a look, it was on 140, and I kept going, it was on 145, and I kept going, it's on 148, then 150. And I thought, okay, maybe I need to change down a couple of gears now. And that's really what we need to do when we're in this state, just change down a couple of gears. So the word that I use here, and this is another hard word for me, is no. No, when people say, can you do this, can you do this? No, not right now. I just need to recharge. There's like a management word, so a horrible word, but my wife taught me this word as well. We joke about this. We sometimes say, no, I don't have the bandwidth for that now. And that's a horrible word, but it kind of means don't have the time, don't have the energy, whatever it is, just no, because you need to recover. Because when you're here in green, you're much better able to help people, right? It's like when you're on an aeroplane and they say to you, if the oxygen mask falls out of the ceiling, put your own mask on first before you charge around the plane helping everybody else, right? And that's what this is. When you're here, you're much better able to serve people. But you're the only one who can do this. There's a proverb that says in the Bible, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. When you guard your heart, you will be recharged. All right. So what are the actions when you're in green to stay there? Well, again, with all these things, there are different things that will fit you than fit me. But for me, what's really important are daily habits. These are different, again, for everybody, but they should be daily. And as I get older, I'm realizing more and more how important these daily habits are. Simple things like making sure I eat well. If I come home and I'm exhausted, I think I'll just take some snacks. That feels great temporarily, but especially after a few days, I feel, drained. But if I eat well, I feel much better. Sleeping well, making sure I have a good night's sleep. Simple things. How many of you regularly work from home? Yeah, right. Many of us, right? And when you're working from home, we're inside behind our desk a lot. But that's not a natural thing. So I make sure daily that I get outside, get fresh air, get sunlight, not so much today, but get sunlight, exercise, simple things to make sure that I stay in this area. Some of us went to the Corrie ten Boom house last weekend, and there it was great. I thoroughly recommend it. And one of the people who showed us round told us about who are the people who are most likely to survive in the Nazi concentration camps. It's the people who took care of themselves. They daily made sure they did simple daily habits like brushing their hair. I do exactly one of those, okay? But yeah, so they do that every day because they take care of themselves. Everything all right? Oh, this is... Go for it, Evans, catch him. Yes, well done. All right, but indeed, so the daily habits are super important. Do you know why vets have an easier job than doctors? Because when you take your little cat to the vets and say, make sure Fluffy gets her tablets every day, the owner says, yes, I'll definitely do that. But if a doctor says, make sure you take these tablets every day, you say, I hope I will, I hope I don't forget. People take better care of their pets often than themselves. Even with our phones. I mean, I bet we all make sure we recharge our phones every day, but do we recharge ourselves? I think if Jesus was around today, he would say, you're worth more than many phones. But if you do all this, do you then have what Jesus said when he said you have life to the full? Now, of course not. This is only the life we're born with. This is what we could call life 1.0. But Jesus came to give us much more than that. He came to give us a life together with God, a whole new dimension here. When we are born, we get life, original life 1.0, but when we're born again, we get a whole new life, which I'll imagine to be called life 2.0. A life together with God, a life of being friends with God. And just as there are daily habits here, so there are also daily habits here. Some of us are doing the XEE course, right? It's a course where we can speak to people who don't know Jesus. We can help them learn about that. We speak to our friends and relatives and so on. And when we do, Harrison says the same two things to everyone who is new in the faith. He says there's two things you need to do. The first one we heard about last week from Chris. Remember, Chris had a big pile of Bibles, and she said every day, read your Bible. It's a simple discipline, but when you do it as a discipline, as a habit, it has amazing effects. My wife shared with me a study that when people read their Bible at least four times a week, how they are have much less depression, much less anxiety, less addictions, more happiness. It really benefits you. And our great example of that, of course, is Jesus, who, as Chris said last week, he memorized his Bible really well, so that when he was tempted, he could simply say, it is written, it is written, it is written. He could answer the devil. So Bible reading is a very important daily habit for us to have life 2.0. Another one, of course, is daily prayer. And again, Jesus is our example in that. In the Gospel of Luke, it says many times Jesus just went on his own to a lonely place to pray, to be with God, to be still and know who his Father was and that he was loved by his Father. So every day, Harrison, every day, make sure you do these two things. So there we are, the big three. Jesus, Harrison, and me are all advising you to do that. So make sure you do that. All right. That's a couple. But what about another habit? We read about another habit, which is not daily, but weekly. You read about it this morning. The weekly habit of the Sabbath. Now, some people will say, hey, but that's not specifically for Christians. And you're right, it's not like a commandment, but it is a very good idea. In fact, it's so important that God, as we saw this morning, he even put it into creation. You know, when the world was still perfect, God worked 6 days, and the seventh, he rested. Why did he rest? Was he exhausted? Was it like, oh, some of those mountains, they were heavy? Of course not. He rested as a pattern for us. That's what we read this morning. He did it so as a pattern for us. So if he thought it was that important, then maybe it's also important for us to take one day where we just rest. What do we do on the Sabbath? One thing we do is gather together to make sure that we recharge, we re-energize our relationship with God. That's why for me it's so important that we are just still and recognize that God is here with us. It's why I don't want to go through the motions on a Sunday morning and tick off the box. I've done the singing, we've done the prayers, we've done the Bible. No, I want to make sure we have a genuine encounter with God. And another thing, of course, what else is the Sabbath for? It's for resting, just for recharging. Maybe this afternoon when you go home, you might dust off a hobby you haven't picked up for a while and think, okay, I'm just going to rest. I'm going to take some time to do that. You know, maybe you want to spend quality time with the family. Maybe you want to spend quality time away from the family, whatever suits you. But what will help recharge you? So tomorrow morning, you're really feeling recharged and full of energy. If you do these things, do you then have what Jesus said meant when he talks about life and life to the full? There's one more level, and using all my imagination, I'll call this life 3.0. This is the life that we have with God, but it goes on into eternity. Chris also mentioned this morning. Life that goes on to eternity. I want to tell you one more story from XEE. So we've been doing this evangelism thing, and we chat to people, as I say, who don't know Jesus or who are go to church but are not quite sure yet about their relationship with God. And Harrison and Yape and I were chatting with one guy who attends church. He's attended church for 20 years, not this church. He's actually in another country. We had a Zoom chat with him. And he's a young man, I guess in his mid-20s, so he's attended church since he was very young. And XEE teaches us to ask questions to help people think about God. And one of the questions it says, when people are already attending church, ask them this. And I recommend you think about this question for yourself. The question is, when you die, let's imagine that you standing at the gates of heaven and God is there and he asks you this. Why should I let you into my heaven? What's your answer? When I asked this young man the question, he said, I've attended church most of my life. I read the Bible sometimes. Sometimes I pray. I help out with the youth ministry. What's the problem with that? It's all about the things that you are doing. And the problem with that is that's never going to be sufficient. You know, if you imagine you line up all the people who've ever lived from the very worst to the very best, right? So let's imagine at the very bottom you have Hitler, maybe, and then quite some way above Yape, for example. And then so there's a big gap. And then a bit above Yape is me, you know. Then a bit further, maybe at the top you get like Mother Teresa, and a little under her is Harrison, you know? So that's your right. Now the question is, what is the cutoff point? What is acceptable for God? Yeah, Chris is just next to Harrison. What is the cutoff point? When are you good enough for God? If the thing is that the Bible says that all have sinned, right? So none of us are good enough. The only person who was good enough is Jesus. And here's the key. One of my favorite Bible verses, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of life. In other words, Jesus offered to swap places. He's offered to swap his track record of perfection with ours of sin. And I explained this to this guy who'd attended church for 20 years all his life. And he said, oh, that makes sense. And so we led him in a short prayer to do that. So this is what really super energizes us, when we realize that this eternal life starts today, that God has done everything we need, that we are free, that we are full of life, and we can look forward with certainty to an eternity with him. That's what energizes us. That's what really gives us life to the full. So I want you to have a think. What actions do you think you will take? Will you start some daily habits? Will you say no to somebody or help? Are there some daily habits that you need to start, like daily reading the Bible, making sure you pray every day, making sure you just have a rest on Sunday so you're recharged for tomorrow? Or maybe you say, actually, I'm focused on the things that I'm doing for God. And what you need to realize is Jesus, when he came, he changed that do into done. He's done everything for us. When he said on the cross, it is finished, he meant it. It's done, if we only accept that. So I want to end with the words of the gospel this morning. Jesus said, come to me, you who are weary or heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. I will recharge you. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. You know, Jesus once said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he sent. That's what we need to do. I'm going to take a moment now for us to reflect on this, and then I'll say a short prayer, and then the worship team will come. So let's take a moment to be still and know. God, we thank you for your word that speaks so powerfully to us. We thank you, Jesus, that you came, that we'll have life to the full, that that should be the normal state for all of us as Christians. And Lord, I pray that if anyone here does not know yet what it means to be set free by you, that they will ask for help today. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us and for being here. Amen. The worship band are going to come up and they're going to lead us in Psalm 23, which speaks about all this, that God, he leads us beside clear waters. He restores our soul. Even when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, it says, and finally it says about how we'll be with him forever. It's the perfect psalm for this talk. Thanks.